topic of music and kind of continue with that and down the line of music. But with music, you think about worship. To worship God, you do not necessarily need music. And let me give you some examples, such as when we had the Lord's Supper, we don't necessarily need music during the time of the Lord's Supper. When we take up an offering and we give, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to have music to give as far as toward an offering. When it comes to baptism, or just think of prayer. When we pray, which is part of our worship, we don't need music to pray. But, you know, you think about times when you walk with the Lord, and I think of How Great Thou Art, the song, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, you know, and consider all, you know, you think about creation, and as you worship, as you're going through, say like if it was a trail or a hike or something like that, you can worship God, but you don't necessarily need music to worship. Now, we did mention last week that we use music as a medium to direct people to encounter God. We use it as an asset, because it helps people as far as encountering God. When it comes time to worship, as we come together as a body, it's time for music also, isn't it? We think of worship, and I don't want you to get in the frame of mind that worship is just music, because worship should involve our whole totality. It's kind of like, let me give you an illustration, because I've been reading a book concerning your call or your calling. And God's call upon each one of our lives involves your whole created being. It involves your job, your family, it involves your worship. That's God's calling upon your life. There's every aspect of who you are is God's call upon your life. So worship should involve every aspect of our lives. Let me get you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to look at a couple passages of Scripture, which I'm sure we have mentioned. Colossians chapter 3. And down in verse 16. Familiar verse of Scripture. There we are instructed in the Word of God to let the Word of God, or Word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It means to be filled up to the full in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, compare that with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. In Ephesians 5 verse 18, the Word of God says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, here you've got the Word of Christ dwelling in you, as far as in Colossians 3, and you are to be filled in all wisdom, or richly in all wisdom, with the Word of Christ. In Ephesians, you've got to be filled with the Spirit. Now, and that's a command for us as children of God. And it goes on to say, basically what Colossians says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Hear the Word of Christ. We ought to be filled with it to worship God. Even so, we need to be filled with the Spirit to worship God. When one trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? To be filled with the Spirit means less of Him and more of me. It means not my will, but His will. Surrender to Him. That's being filled with the Spirit. Now, you have all the Spirit that you're going to get as far as Him dwelling within your heart and life that you'll ever get while you're here upon this earth. You have the Spirit dwelling in within when you trusted in Christ. But there are times when we can get full of self. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we're full of self, and you know what? We're not filled with the Spirit like we ought to be. So there's the command to be filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Word of God and we're filled with the Spirit of God, what's going to happen is worship is going to come forth. And that's what God is commanding of us, to be worshiping Him. When you think about songs, and when we're filled with the Spirit and we worship with song, songs have a way of expressing some of the deepest emotions that we have. You think of the psalmist, David, he expressed in the book of Psalms his hopes, his fears. David expressed his desires, his thanks, his praises unto God, him honoring God. The Psalms is full of all types of emotions and feelings and thoughts. And that was part of David's worship. You remember when the Ark of the Covenant was coming into Jerusalem and David was kind of leading the way? You remember what David was doing? I don't remember the passage of Scripture, but he was a dancing up a storm. He was a good modern-day Baptist, wasn't he? He was, boy, he was just so consumed with the joy of the Lord, he danced before the ark. You think of how music affected David. Think about Saul. You remember when Saul had that evil spirit to come upon him, and David played the harp, and that evil spirit left. So there was something with David's singing that was spiritual singing that took command over demonic spirits. There is great power within music, is basically what I'm saying. Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles, not 1 Corinthians, 1 Chronicles chapter 15. They both start with a cr. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, notice what the Word of God says down in verse 2. It says, "Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever." The Levites were commanded to minister unto the Lord and to carry the ark of God. The Levites, notice it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, look down in verse 12. "Also the Levites, which were the singers," they were appointed singers, were the Levites. And it was God that appointed the Levites to be the singers. All of them of Asaph. Now, oftentimes you read the Psalms, and you'll read right at the beginning of the Psalms, a psalm unto Asaph, or a psalm of Asaph. Here, psalms were given to Asaph to direct with the singers. And it says, "The Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." Here, these leaders and singers were the Levites. They were appointed leaders in singing. You can find the same over in Nehemiah chapter 12. These Levites, they were the singers. Yet, we've got to be careful when it comes, when we have a music ministry. Let me clarify. Oftentimes, we got to understand that some people who are talented does not necessarily qualify them to lead in music. Just because they're gifted in music does not qualify someone to lead in music. Just like someone who might be gifted as a speaker, they might not be gifted in preaching. They might sound good speaking, but if God ain't in it, it ain't good. The thing with music, because music covers so much emotions and it involves the totality of our being, when it comes to the singing and worshiping the Lord, whether it's through instruments or through voice, whatever it might be, we cannot be temperamental. We cannot let pride come in. We cannot let impatience come in with others who might not be talented or gifted like we are. Therefore, that's where the Word of God comes in and tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit and filled with the Word of Christ. And if one is filled with the Spirit and the Word of Christ, there's not going to be a fluctuating of emotions and tempers and pride and this type thing, such as if Spencer played the trumpet. I don't know if he played the trumpet. If Spencer played the trumpet, and let's say like Nathan played a trumpet, well, Spencer gets first chair. Well, Nathan didn't get first chair. He got second chair. Well, that's not right, because he plays better than Spencer, and he ought to get first chair. You see how things can kind of build up? We can kind of get envious of things because of talents and abilities, and they can be God-given talents and abilities, but you can't get temperamental with your talents and gifts that God has given you. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Word of Christ and to be filled with the Spirit of God. Oftentimes the songs, the Psalms in the Word of God, they are directed toward a choir director or given to a choir director. And the choir director, such as Asaph, he is to take it and put it to word or music, and then he is to give it to the singers and no doubt conduct. But if a leader is not spiritual, what's going to happen? And let me use myself as an example. If I'm leading the singing, and if I'm not spiritual, what's going to happen? I'm going to draw attention to myself. Now, you know what's going to happen when I start drawing attention to myself? Same thing if you start doing anything to draw attention to yourself, you're going to draw attention away from Christ. Therefore, that's sinful. So if I'm doing something to draw attention to Steve Wainwright, I'm sinning. My whole position should be pointing people to Christ. Music is something that involves our whole being. We must be like John the Baptist and say, "He must increase, but I must decrease." We want attention to be pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. But anytime God has a divine purpose for something, and anytime God establishes something, Satan's got a counterfeit. Where there is a Christ, there is an antichrist. Where there is the Lord's kind of church, there are false kinds of churches. Where there is good scriptural music, there can be very unscriptural music. You see, Satan can always and always does throw a counterfeit for that which God makes good. Let me give you some examples. There are some that call themselves churches that use secular songs and secular words, worldly words, worldly songs that have not a hint of Christianity in them, and they use them during the worship service. There used to be in Lexington, some of y'all might remember this, different churches that had choir wars. Anybody ever heard that term? Choir wars. Not heard that term? They just about battled. The competition got so hot and heavy I remember, and it's been a long time ago, there was one choir member from one choir actually threw acid upon another choir member from another choir. I mean, they got vicious, you know, which is sad, because that shows you that temperamental overcoming the person. It's wrong for competition to be going like that. It's wrong for, like, instruments to be not dominating the singing. If Lydia's playing the piano so loud, she never does this, or if Sarah's playing the organ so loud, or if they switch around, or if Steve's strumming his bass guitar to where you can't hear nobody singing or hear any words, you know, that's wrong. The instruments are not to dominate. I remember doing a funeral. I can't even remember how many years ago, but I remember they called me, and I guess I was at Ashton Avenue, because under Ashton Avenue, we always get the first calls from funeral homes for anybody who didn't have a pastor to come do the funeral. They call one of us to do the funeral. Well, I got to do this funeral, and I had no idea what I was getting into, so the funeral director told me to meet him at Southland Christian Church. I thought, what? So I went to Southland Christian Church and went into a chapel. When I went into the chapel, it was a man that had passed away. I'd never met him before, but the chapel started filling up, and there was probably about 100 to 200 people in that chapel service, and there was quite a few seats, a large chapel service. And then they didn't have anybody doing the music, so somebody in church told somebody in the church building over there to take control of the music. Well, I'm standing up there about getting ready to start, and they turned this music on. It was canned music, and it was Christian rock. And I'm going like, this is at a funeral service. You know, some things just ain't appropriate. I mean, they're jamming while this person's dead in the coffin, and I'm supposed to be preaching a funeral. It just wasn't conducive. Music, there are tunes and rhythms and melodies, you know, in and of themselves, they are amoral. They're not right or wrong as far as the sound. But when it leads to like a worldview and you hear like a heavy metal type music coming, that's not conducive to worship or worship service. So there are times it's inappropriate. Music is not an area for someone to display their talent, but for one's talent to display God's glory. If God's gifted you with the gift that you've got, you're to use that gift to ultimately glorify God and point people to the Lord. Now, that may be in singing or playing an instrument. When it comes to music, music, as all of y'all know, can cause some excitement. You ever seen people get excited when there's certain music playing? Some people in a church might start shouting. Some might start moving just because of the music. But if the music doesn't lead people into God's presence, it's not worship music. That's what worship music is. The whole purpose is to lead people into the presence of God that they might worship Him. Oftentimes, many people fail in this area. I was reading a story today and behind some medical record studies on music, and it was kind of interesting because music affects the brain. They did a study on some three-year-olds, and they let the three-year-olds, a certain group, listen to music, and they let the other three-year-olds not listen to music. It was over a certain period of time. Come to find out, after a period of time, they tested these three-year-olds with puzzles and different things, and the three-year-olds with puzzles, they could figure them out a lot better. Their brain developed better. That's why Lydia's smarter than I am. Yeah, because she's music inclined. I'm not. That's why she corrects my sermons. When I get home, I get the second sermon at 12:30 in the right version. I didn't tell you she writes the sermon, though, but no, she don't. I'm treading deep water here. Better back up and keep going. But what I'm simply saying is that studies show that music increases a child's ability to reason and to learn. There was a young fella I did a funeral for, and it's been quite a few years also, and he had cerebral palsy. And this young man's name was Brandon. The parents had him from 2 years old up to 17. And as soon as they got him, all he could do was moan all his life. He couldn't express himself in any way but just moan. What these parents that had taken him in had figured out is that when they played country music, he just mellow out. Country music. At 2 years old, that's kind of odd. But that was consistent through his life up to the age of 17. And he passed away from pneumonia and complications with it at the age of 17. What I'm simply saying is that music has an effect upon people like hardly anything else. And yet, when you look at the school systems, I know like Lydia could attest to this fact, often the first program they want to cut is the arts or the music. And yet, that has one of the bigger impacts of brain development and learning. But that's the way our society is. They get it backwards all the time. When it comes to music, as far as in worship, and as far as when we gather together, it takes discernment. You've got to discern what is doctrinally sound. You got to thin through things that aren't too doctrinally sound. Something else I was reading today, and I'm going to share with you. Have you ever been in a church, and I know I've visited a church, where they would have a line of music, and they would repeat it over and over and over and over until finally you just kind of wonder, what's the purpose of this being repeated over and over and over? You ever been in a music service like that? What is the purpose? I remember in it was a church in another state, Baptist church, and they had this chorus and they did it over and over and over. And I finally stopped after about the third time, and they did it about 10 or 15 more times, and I'm going like, I don't get it. And yet there are a lot of churches that do that, a repetitious phrase that comes over and over and over. And in reading about this type of methodology in singing, I found it kind of interesting. What it often does with a lot of people, it gets their adrenaline going. Now, have you ever had an adrenaline rush? Some of y'all need an adrenaline rush tonight. I think Cheryl said she was going to take a bath in coffee because she was so stupid. That's an adrenaline rush. Yeah. You know, some of us need that adrenaline going. Well, a lot of times when you say the phrase over and over and over, it will get the adrenaline going. That's why you find, like in a lot of charismatic churches, they do a lot of things that are repetitious and that are very loud. It's a play on the emotions. And what happens when you get an adrenaline rush? You know what happens over time when you keep doing the same thing? It develops into a type of addiction, doesn't it? Here, people who know that, I believe, manipulate people into coming to that type of worship service. Chanting like that over and over and over. I've seen videos of Eastern mysticism and how they worship, and that's what they do. It's that same thing over and over and over. And you know what the Lord our God has told us? Not to worship like the heathen do. And yet that's a practice that some use to manipulate people, and a lot of times it disengages the mind, and that's not where God wants us. Some people use it as a control method. I can think of one by the name of Joel, who I believe gives people that adrenaline rush of feel good. He don't ever want to say anything bad about anybody, don't want to ever mention hell, don't want to ever mention sin. So they always get that feel good when they come. So I'm going to keep going to that church because he makes me feel good. Let me tell you something. There's been people not coming back to our church because they didn't feel so good from what they heard from God's Word. You know what? The truth either draws or divides. We're going to ever stand for the truth and not back down from it. Look over in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to close with this. In Matthew, the sixth chapter, in Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 7, Jesus said, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions." Because who does that? As the heathen do, the unbelievers. "For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask of Him." Many times a lot of the vain repetition is kind of like a petition of prayer, and it's over and over and over. It's kind of like, "God can't hear, so I'll keep on repeating it over and over and over." God knows what we have need of. And when it comes to singing, we don't have to do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. You never hear us singing like that. I pray to God we never will. There is a difference, and this is where it takes some discernment to learn what is an emotional high and what is the Holy Spirit at work. There is a lot of charismatic Pentecostal churches that like to hype people up, get the emotions up, and they'll say the Spirit was moving today. Let me tell you something, not necessarily so. A lot of times it's just the emotion and you're pumping it up. We've got to discern, and we've got to use spiritual discernment of the Spirit of God working in our midst and working in our worship service. Boy, that's an abrupt ending. Boom. Let me just stop right there and say, is there any questions on the topic of music? I've not kind of opened it up before and asked if there are any questions. That every now and then on Wednesday nights we would ask this, and sometimes there will be questions, and if nobody has any questions, I'll probably wait another year or two before.